Yeah, so, Mr. Chairman, if you look at line 35 through line 42.
Okay.
It's essentially saying that any building that had a vacant unit for 2 years or more would be qualified if a new tenant was to come in and sign a lease. They wouldn't have to pay the tangible tax for that 2 year period.
Okay. So it's essentially a tax exemption for 2 years.
Correct.
Neil, how many buildings would you estimate? And I'm sure you have some sort of number to even put some validity to the exercise of doing this. How many properties would you guess that there are in the city of Warwick that could qualify for this?
It's going to be different in different areas. We've got a problem with
a guesstimate.
Well, percentage wise, if we look at like big box retail, that's no longer in favor with the market. And we've got a lot of them sitting out there. I don't have an actual percentage, but it's probably close to 15% of that style.
You got a monster right near Port Plaza, right?
Correct. You know, and then if we look at smaller strip plazas, you know, especially in villages like Connecticut, we've got a lot of vacant buildings, not just vacant units. Mm-hmm. And so again, this would be something that we could use to help bring some people back into the community, but also it would generate some revenue on the real estate end, because those mm-hmm. vacant buildings don't pay as much in taxes as the occupied buildings do. So this is as much to help from an economic development standpoint as it is to try to help those landlords get a tenant.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But it does require General Assembly approval. Mm-hmm. We can't just create an exemption. We have to go to the General Assembly and get that approval to do that.
Right. Okay. I can see and understand the rationale for this. But, you know, I would like to see what the cost or the monetary impact that this would have if this were to go forward in its current form. And I'm wondering, is there a fiscal note that accompanies this?
There is not, but because we wrote it only on units that are vacant for 2 years or more, we are getting zero revenue now. There's no revenue to lose. Mm-hmm. It's only a positive impact. So we won't know the effectiveness of the program. And this was actually initially an idea that came up pre-COVID. We didn't even know that COVID was gonna hit, but now, especially with what we're dealing with, we have to get out in front of these issues and try to make Warwick one of the more attractive places to come as the market redefines itself as we come out of the COVID mess. I just want to make sure we're positioned to be able to do that.
Okay, that's a very good point. And that kind of brings me full circle to when I first got on the city council, we tried to do something similar and couldn't get any traction at all from the General Assembly. Because the cities and towns, the leagues of cities and towns, they were complaining that, it's gonna cost us millions of dollars if you do that. There's no way, we can't afford it, et cetera, et cetera. And we simply couldn't make them, when I say we, it's in another life, not particularly the city council couldn't. They couldn't understand that you got a vacant building, it's a vacant property. You're not getting any revenue from it whatsoever. So to give this type of inducement to occupy it, it's not costing you anything because, as you pointed out, Neil, there is no revenue. And I'm clear on it now, the building that has been vacant for 2 years or more, and the property for the first 2 years of occupancy. So, okay, I get it. I can see where you don't need to have a fiscal note because you're not getting any revenue on that property anyways. Okay. Any questions from, yes, Councilman McAllister.
Thank you very much. I just want to commend Councilman Sinapi, and he said he worked with Councilman Ricks on this for, you know, taking the lead. As Neil mentioned, they've been working on this since before COVID. So they were moving this forward. So we will be ahead of the curve here. So I want to commend them on their forward thinking on this. This is an issue that we hear about. You know, we, as Councilman Sinapi mentioned, we all have these buildings in our ward. We see them sit for years. And just to kind of give an incentive, let's change it up. Let's get some life into these buildings. I think it's outstanding. This is the first step, you know, getting it to the General Assembly. I just commend both of you for taking the lead on this and really timely issue that I think is very important. So I look forward to supporting it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Councilman McAllister. I concur. I'm just going to ask the question, being that you know, the point has been made that Councilman Ricks has been working on this as well. Councilman Ricks, are you a co-sponsor on this, or?
I'd actually like to request to be formally added as a co-sponsor, but I do fully support this resolution. It's an issue that we talked about at in relation to the Tax Relief Commission. So it's really one of the many ideas that came up. And while I personally would like more of a carrot and stick approach of punishing folks who are letting these various buildings sit empty and become blighted eyesores, I understand that there are some limitations to what the city can do here, certainly from a legal approach, as well as we don't want to be in a position where if someone legitimately falls on hard times, we don't want to be adding to burdens. But let's face it, there are a lot of actors out there, banks and whatnot, who sit on a lot of this vacant property because really they're taking advantage of the tax code and depreciation, or for whatever other reason. So if we can solve the problem by giving a little incentive that really effectively costs us nothing and generates more revenue, well, that's a win-win right there. So I want to also make clear for any members of the public listening on this, that in general, I am not a big fan of the so-called tax treaties or the like, where property taxes for the real estate are marked down for a number of years. In general, Warwick does not participate in those, only with very rare exceptions. For instance, one such property or some such properties that there were those types of deals were really where it was remediating brownfields and environmental disasters and the like. And so this has nothing to do with anything like that, because all along, Warwick is continuing to be able to have that property tax on the real estate, just like the residents pay for their houses, just like occupied businesses pay the commercial rate. So this does not affect that commercial real estate rate. What this is affecting the tangible property tax that a business pays in addition to on the real estate. They have to pay that property tax on the equipment that they have there. And so, as our tax assessor had explained, when you have a business, well, rather when you have the building sitting there empty, then obviously there's no equipment being taxed there. So when we get a business into that vacant building, we're not just improving that building by having it occupied. We're also improving that whole area because we're reducing the blight. And then hopefully that business stays. Certainly it's going to be sustainable because they're able to pay that commercial real estate tax, unlike where some cities and towns can get themselves in a little bit of trouble with being overly aggressive with those tax treaties on commercial real estate. So really, this little incentive here, when it comes to that tangible property, that equipment inside that building that the business uses, I think that it's the perfect carrot to lure some additional businesses to fill up these vacant buildings. And so for those reasons, I hope that it will earn the support of this committee and the council.
If I may, just to address the concern about the non-utilization. If you look at line 44 and up to the second page, line two, there is a provision where the city will make every effort to try to work with this as the carrot, but the stick does come in there that would require a local ordinance. That's an enabling piece of legislation that's already on the books at the state level. But if we choose to do that, we all know the buildings, I don't want to point any specific ones out, but there's some that people have just clearly walked away from. And that's not what we're looking for. So I think through economic development, through ordinances and resolutions such as this, we want to try to work with the property owners and help them fill up those vacant units. But if they truly are just neglecting or abandoning the property, we do want to have that carrot too, to be able to say, look, we're going to charge you more if you don't use the property or if you don't try to sell it. That's a last resort, but we need to have that as an option as well.
Thank you. Councilwoman Chavez.
Yes, I'd like to ask the sponsor if I could be a co-sponsor also.
All are welcome.
All right, thank you. And then we're going to give that a PCR number.
You're going to change that to a PCR?
Bill? It looks like a nod from Bill.
Yes, if someone on the committee would just want to make that motion, it would be PCR 10320.
I can make that motion to change it to PCR 10320.
Do we have a second?
In favorable action.
Councilman?
By Councilman Howe. Council President?
Yes, I too am in favor of legislation like this. I was going to make a suggestion and ask a question. Many years ago, Neil, we had a situation where can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, because my screen froze for a sec, so I apologize. Neil, we had a situation several years back where tangible tax also has to do with vehicles, correct?
Well, we have a motor vehicle excise tax. That would be separate.
Okay.
Personal property.
All right. I just I don't know if we need to clarify, because I am concerned about what had happened to us a few years back, where people were renting properties in and around the airport, basically the Avises and Hertz of the world, and trying to say that the vehicles were not located in Warwick, Rhode Island. They were registered in New Jersey or whatever, and they were avoiding it. So that came to mind, that, I didn't want to see any exemptions like that. And I haven't really had time to think about it any longer, but if you can think of similar situations that might be, and I'm just throwing things out, where items are big ticket items, if you will, that are personal property. So it would be appealing to me, if I owned a copy company, to store all my, $20,000-$30,000 copiers in one of these properties and not pay tangible tax on it for 2 years, and use it as a storage facility. That'd be a significant savings. And just refresh my recollection, how long does the property have to be in the city before there's a tangible tax? And I would assume it applies to inventory that's sitting around waiting to be sold.
Well, a couple of different things. So tangible personal property is assessed as of each December 31st.
Right.
So they don't have to have been here. If they opened up on December 30th, they're taxable for the ensuing tax year. But as far as the bigger ticket items, the inventory is no longer taxed. So the only thing that's taxed for tangible property at this point is things like the desk, the chair, the computer, physical assets, outside of things like utility companies. Those are different. But the inventory, both at the wholesale and the retail level, has been exempted at the state level. And I think that phased out in the last bill, would have been in 2007, I believe.
Okay. So we don't have to worry about any item, big ticket items that might be sitting on a property, similar to a vehicle that's for rent or equipment that needs to be rent. I mean, there are also rental copy machines or whatever. I'm just trying to think outside the box to make sure that we're not rewarding bad behavior, if you will.
No, I certainly could help with the motor vehicle issue because taxitis was definitely here in Warwick. Okay. So regardless of where they register those vehicles, if they're garaged here on a permanent basis, they have to take the average that they keep on hand in Warwick, and it is taxable here. We are dealing with some of the companies with that, but most of them are compliant with that.
And that includes the leased vehicles?
That includes the leased vehicles, correct.
And what about leased copy machines?
Well, for the copy machines, if they're leased, they're already paying the tangible personal property tax. But two things that we did with this resolution, we made it so that they can't be moving from one building in Warwick to another, right? So if we're getting the tax already, they can't get exempted.
Okay.
Also, we put an anti-cannibalization clause in there so we can't pull somebody from another city or town. That's a requirement in order to get it through the General Assembly. They're going to want to see that. So this would be truly a new business that didn't exist that we're attracting into Warwick. You know, we will see a lot of companies take advantage of COVID. People will go out and buy some machinery or equipment at fire sale prices because the other company went out of business. But for every loser, there's typically a winner. And so as those companies come back and try to reinvent themselves, that's really what we're looking for here.
And the other question I had for you, Neil, was in line 44. It mentions corporate property owners. And is this, I'm assuming that we don't want to limit it just to a corporation because there could be a partnership or a sole proprietorship or an LLP that may fit those qualifications or no?
Absolutely, but I think we're looking at corporate here for more global sense, and this is just speaking of that we're going to make every effort to try to work with the corporate owners, more of an association if you think of it at that level.
Should we say business property owners?
We would say commercial property.
Property owners, yeah. I just don't want it to, I mean, there's some mom and pops out there that own space that got hurt too, and I understand what Councilman Sinopi is doing, and just trying to make sure they know they're welcome too.
Yeah, I think commercial would probably be a better catch-all.
Okay. All right, those are all my questions. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mr. President. Councilman Sinopi, Councilman Ricks, I also agree that I think this is a good piece of legislation, and I mean, Lord knows we certainly need to get some of these buildings filled up, the existing buildings. And I would also like to request to be added on as a sponsor.
Me too, Mr. President. Mr. Chairman. And Neil, while we got you on the line, if it's okay through the chair, how are we looking on our collection rate right now?
Good question, but I don't see the collection side of things. I only do the assessment. The communications that I have had, though, we're still in good shape. As you all know, we haven't built the motor vehicles yet for the 2020 tax year. And one of the reasons we've been able to do that is because the collections are doing fairly well. But the exact numbers, I don't see those. I don't get any of those reports. So,
Mr. Chair, have you heard what the collection rate is?
I've heard 94% is what I heard last week, but I haven't addressed or asked the question directly to the tax assessor, tax collector. That was just something that was put out to me, but I'm hearing somewhere around 94 and 95%.
Yeah, and my concern is I think we had set it at 99, I know I had asked questions about that in June. I think you had May or June. Mm-hmm. I think you had too. Mm-hmm. And if it is at 94%, knock on wood that it doesn't stay there, but that could be about $12 million. So I just wanted to point that out to the council members so we can all be aware of it. Thank you.
Neil, you just mentioned something, and I think it was Friday, and one other time during the course of last week, I had two constituents call me, and they were pretty happy to tell me that there would not be a car tax bill sent to them this year. And my understanding, I think you just touched on it, is because the rate has not been sent down to us yet from the state. That is, in fact, the reason why the car tax bills haven't been sent out. I'm only bringing this up because if I received a couple of calls, two calls actually, saying that, you know, this is really good. You know, we're not getting a car tax bill this year, so that's going to help. I don't know if that's only those two people or if there's some reasoning or somehow why people are under the assumption that there is not going to be a car tax bill. But I think it's important for somehow to get that that information out to the taxpayers that, you know, there is a bill coming. We just don't know how much it is yet because the state hasn't set it. Do you agree?
Chairman, well, I think this actually sounds very important and good to know. I'm not sure we can discuss it based on the agenda. I don't know one way or another. I don't know if any of the attorneys want to weigh in.
Well, Bill, is there any reason why, that question can't be answered?
There were a few items noted there. Can you frame which item you are trying to relate to the ordinance that's before us?
So I can answer that. That we are discussing the impact. I asked about tangible property, whether it included vehicles, and Councilman Lattisaw followed up with a point to clarify whether the bills have actually gone out on the vehicles. So I think it's within the realm of the legislation. Thank you.
Yep, just looking for a ruling one way or another from our attorneys, that's all.
Bill?
I think from a legal perspective, it's open to that. I think it's more under a point of order issue that the president has weighed in his opinion on. I think that as it relates to the item before us, the tangible property taxes are an item that's there's a nexus to it. But it, you know, to the best of our abilities, if we could stay closer to the vacant storefront provisions or other tangible taxes, that would kind of be the closest meet point to what has been posted.
All right. Yeah. And to be clear, I'm not raising a point of order. I was just concerned from OMA. And with that said, I'm still not raising a point of order. So say whatever you wish. Sorry.
Okay.
And Councilman, sorry, can I interrupt?
Yes. Yes, go ahead, Lynn. Identify yourself for the record, please.
Sorry, I'm Lynn Proger, the Acting Finance Director.
Okay.
I'm more than happy to talk to you about the motor vehicle bills offline. I wasn't aware that you've been contacted a few times.
Yeah, and Lynn,
we're not sending the bills out until legislation is passed.
I understand.
It is a bookkeeping nightmare, and you're right, we probably should message that a little better.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you want to talk about that offline.
It's a question that was just brought up, and with all the activity going on over the weekend, yesterday, today, quite frankly, until Neil just mentioned it, it was not in the front of my mind. It was in the back of my mind, tucked away. So yeah, I'd be happy to have that conversation with you, Lynn, because, you know, again, maybe it's only these two people in my ward. Maybe I'm the only one in the whole city that has gotten those questions. Maybe I'm not, but I think that it would be a good idea. We'll have that conversation offline and see if we can't come up with, some communication or some method of communication. Thank you. Okay, so
just a couple here
we are. Does anyone else wish to be added on as sponsors to this legislation? Councilman McAllister, Councilman Howe. Okay. Is there anyone else? Councilwoman Chavez, you already added on. Councilwoman Chavez, Council President has added on. Councilman Sinapi, I guess you have the entire council on. So
Councilman Lattisaw. Councilman, I think Neil was starting to raise his hand, and then.
Yeah, I just
wanted to Neil, go ahead.
If I may. So there is a blurb on the website about the motor vehicle excise tax explaining that until the state passes their budget, we actually are prohibited from the statute from sending out the bill. So that is out there, but people do have to migrate to the website and look for it. Yeah. It is on the main page, but.
Neil, don't misunderstand. I'm not being critical of anything that you're doing or Lynn's doing or the administration is doing or anything like that. I'm not being critical of it. I'm not criticizing it. It just, you struck, the memory bank. And I'm just suggesting that, you know, there could be people, a lot of people don't go to the city website.
Right. But that's why I figured I'd mention it in this forum. Yeah. So that maybe they will.
And yeah. I would think that I would note we've probably traveled up beyond or to the edge of where we could go on this item relates to that. So back to
PCO 2919. Councilman Sinapi, what is your pleasure? Continue, sir. Any other questions? Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Are there any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
I'll make a motion for favorable action. Do we need to change it, or do we already change it to
You can include that in your motion, Councilman.
Okay. I'll change it to a PCR.
Just note it that it's now PCR 10320 as part of your motion.
PCR 10320. And also, do we want to, Council President brought up a point on line 44. I'll ask the sponsors. Change corporate property to commercial property? Are you in agreement with that?
I have no problem with that. I think it's actually a good idea.
Okay. Then I will make that motion as well. In line 44, we will change the word corporate and to commercial property. And I move favorable action on those two amendments.
Seconded.
Okay. We have a motion on PCR 10320 to amend line 44 from corporate to commercial. We have a second. All in favor on the amendment?
Aye.
Would someone like to move it as amended?
I favor as amended.
Seconded.
Allison moves as amended. Councilman Howe seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Okay, item number four, PCR 195, a resolution relative to creating a study commission for insurance, health insurance benefits. Councilman Sinapi.
You can hold that till, let me just check my schedule here. The first meeting of December, please.
Okay, we will hold to December 7th.
Motion to hold to December 7th.
Okay. Seconded.
We have a motion to hold at the request of the sponsor. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
PCR 41A 820, resolution addressing fiscal request for education fiscal year 2020 through 21. Councilman Sinapi.
Same request, please.
Need a motion to hold till December 7th at the request of the sponsor?
Motion to hold to December 7th.
Seconded.
We have a motion to hold. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Next item. Item number six, PCR 9720, a resolution regarding ratification of the Cooper Building lease. Councilman Sinapi.
A hold till the immediate next meeting, November 16th.
We have requested the sponsor to hold until November 16th.
A motion to hold on November 16th.
Seconded.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Mr. Chair. Councilman Lasser. Sure. I just wanted to point out to Councilman Sinapi, which he probably already knows, the lease wasn't attached.
That's correct. Yes, there was not.
Okay. Thank you.
Just hold on. Bear with me 1 minute. On line 32, Councilman Sinapi, it says, and any and all other documents. I don't know what any and all other documents mean. So if you could take a look at that and make sure that any and all other necessary documents are included, because right now there are none. Thank you.
Will do. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. It is 6:34 and the Finance Committee is adjourned. Thank you all.
Billy, you want to just give me a thumbs up when you're ready for us to start ordinance? Give you a second. Thumbs up. All right. I will call the Ordinance Committee at 6:34. First off is the acceptance of the October 19th committee. I was not in attendance, so I will need someone to move that and second it.
Motion.
I will second it.
Councilman Sinapi moves it forward. And thank you. And seconded by Councilman Corley. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Two ayes and one abstention. Thank you. First off is PCO 10-19. This is not drafted. A number of co-sponsors. Councilman Lattiser, what's your pleasure?
Let's hold till, you know what, let's hold to December 21st.
I'll make that motion. Hold on behalf of the sponsor to December 21st.
Thank you.
Second.
Been moved in second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Number two is PCO 15-19, an ordinance regarding health insurance for city employees. Councilman Lattiser, Council President Marola, first passage as amended. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you recall at the last meeting, Councilman Sinapi had requested a fiscal note. And to my knowledge, we have not received that fiscal note. I don't see it in my binder. So having said that, I am going to move to hold until November 16th.
Excuse me, Councilman.
Yes.
Just want to let you know, today's the cutoff for anything to get into your binder. It's going out on Friday. I don't know if I'll have it. I'm just letting you know that. Binder goes out to you on Friday.
That's okay. This request was made by Councilman Sinapi. I believe it was like 2 weeks ago.
Okay, I'm just telling you that I don't have anything right now, and I just wanted you aware of that, that the binder does go out Friday.
Well, hopefully they'll be able to get that fiscal note to you by Friday. In the meantime, I'm looking to hold until November 16th. Thank you for that, though.
On behalf of the sponsor, I'd move that we hold it to November 16th.
Second.
Thank you.
I think we may have lost Councilman McAllister. He was freezing.
Was getting a little wonky, and I guess it dropped.
Councilman McAllister, you still here?
He's logging around now, he says. Attempting to.
Sorry about that. I got disconnected. I think I'm back on.
You are.
We are.
Okay. What'd I miss?
I think Councilman Corley moved to hold and I second it.
Okay. Hold. And when are we holding it to?
November 16th, Jim.
Okay. So there's a motion to hold to November 16th. It's been seconded by Councilman Corley. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. And third is PCO 2-20, an ordinance relative to forming a commission to establish LED signage guidelines. Councilman Lattiser, not drafted.
Thank you, Chairman. This is an issue that affects and certainly can affect all of our wards. And I'm going to request that we hold this until whatever the date is, till the second meeting in January, so that our new members of the City Council will be able to weigh in on this, because in both Ward 1 and Ward 9, they have a pretty good potential for having issues with this. So I think that they should have an opportunity to weigh in on this. So I'd like whatever that date is in the second meeting in January, Mr. Chairman. That's the best I can tell you.
I haven't set a calendar for next year.
I know you haven't, but we will have a second meeting in January. So whatever that date is when I'm looking to hold it.
It's tentatively scheduled, should the proposed calendar move forward, to be January 20th, but I would recommend making the motion to be the second meeting in January.
Thank you. That's what I said.
I will make the motion on behalf of the sponsor to hold to the second meeting, whenever that may be, in January 2021.
I'll second that.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you.
It's been moved and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. And that closes the Ordinance Committee at 6:40.
Is there a public safety meeting?
Could be.
Public safety is up next.
Bill, question for you procedurally.
Yes, Councilman.
I want to move to reconsider one of the claims from last meeting. Should I instead first just be docketing it today and then we'll do any vote on a move to reconsider next time, or a move to reconsider today to get it on the docket?
So we would need to take two steps. If you're looking to reconsider an item that has not been posted on under the Open Meetings Act, we would put it on record for the next meeting.
Right.
We wouldn't be amending tonight's docket or anything like that.
Exactly. So just don't do anything and just add it at the end of the docket, or make the motion now, add it at the docket, and then wait till next meeting.
Whatever you are in the committee's pleasure is, if the committee, the item that you have in mind, was it something that was completed through the full council?
I believe it was Mark Huell, right, Lynn?
That's correct.
Hang on 1 second. Let me just... So to be clear, you're discussing PCR 6820, a resolution relative to the claims of Mark Huell, which was passed unfavorable by the council at the last meeting. Is that correct?
Correct.
So I would say that the item was last in the hands of the full council. So I would say that you can make the motion at the full council for bringing the item back forward.
All right, thank you. So for now, we'll stick to the immediate agenda. We have acceptance of minutes from committee meeting held on October 19th, 2020.
Motion favorable action.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Next we have PCR 102-20. For claims, I think we have one. Yep. Eric Perlman, 41 Columbia Avenue. Department recommended favorable action. He's got an invoice from the House of Glass. This is damage created by a rock in a way that you see in movies, and it's terrifying. The affidavit appears to be filled out correctly. Oh, we only have the one, not really an estimate because it's an invoice, rather than the usual three. And
if I may?
I was just going to add the claimant did give an explanation in the book. But yeah, go ahead, Councilman Griggs.
Thank you. I believe that we only required the three when it comes to... certainly the potholes. I'm not sure if, as a practice of the city council, we've traditionally required three when it comes to property damage, not to vehicles. I'd defer to someone who's been on the council longer than I when it comes to whether our practice applies to this kind of property damage.
I remember doing one for a fence, I think in Councilman Lattice's ward, I might be mistaken, but I think then we needed three. But I same thing that you said, someone who's been on longer would know better than I, frankly. Any of the veterans want to weigh in one way or another? Sounds like crickets all around. Any other comments or questions from members of the committee for the moment?
I would also add that the recommendation memo states $307.12, but it seems like all of the documentation, including all of the documents submitted by the claimant, as well as the copy of the invoice, all state $304.95. Not much of a difference, but want to make sure to point that out before we take any vote.
Very good point. So first, I guess we'll make sure if we plan on favorable action. So any other comments or questions from members?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I can tell you from a professional standpoint, dealing with broken windows, that number of $304.95 to repair that is a fair number.
Gotcha. Good to know. Any other questions or comments from members of the council? Any questions or comments from members of the public? Any questions or comments from members of the public? I mean, my own two cents, the claimant did give an explanation on this, and it makes sense to me, a large custom window. So how is he going to go about getting two additional quotes? I mean, we're pretty stringent when it comes to tires, because heck, you can Google it and that one in. I get that. I mean, I'm not a window guy, I fully admit it, but I don't know how one would get a quote for a large custom window.
Mr. Chairman, if you would like some additional, we get calls for broken windows all the time. And if it's not one of our products, we're not going to go out and give anybody a quote. You're simply going to go out there and it's either going to be repaired or it's not going to be repaired. You're not going to get people running around to quote on repairing a thermal pane piece of glass. It's a custom made item. It's very difficult to get done in some cases, and it's just a pain in the butt. So they're not going to get three companies running out there to give them prices for it.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. That'd be my guess as well. And now we actually have someone who knows what they're talking about rather than me just speculating. Anyone have any other comments or questions? All right, seeing none, we should first, we got to make sure we do this for the right amount, though. Let's see. So does anyone have a motion to make on the committee?
Move favorable action in the amount of $304.95.
Seconded.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. I believe I'm wrong. Don't listen to me. Next is PCR 69-20, resolution.
Mr. Chairman, I know you moved minutes. Did you move the minutes on the...
not on the consent calendar, they did not.
Right, so there's three sets of minutes for the consent calendar of July 13th, August 17th, and September 21.
Oh, good call. I had skipped right to the claim. So first we'll do minutes, July 13th, 2020 meeting.
July 13th, 2020. Say the date again, please. I apologize.
You nailed it. You got it right.
Okay. Move favorable action.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. August 17th, 2020 minutes.
Move favorable action.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. And then September 21st, 2020.
Move favorable action.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you.
Thank you, Attorney Walsh, for catching that. PCR 69-20 is next, resolution relative to claims, specifically Sean Lavoy. This is the one we had held, I believe, due to lack of estimates, if I'm not mistaken. He only gave one. Is the claimant on the line by chance?
His name again, please.
like it, unless he's the Samsung SMT377V. Lynn, I assume this individual got notice.
They did. I have not heard from anyone.
So I mean, last time we had the situation, we did eventually recommend unfavorable action given that the individual didn't reach out despite multiple notices. Does anyone on the committee have any comments or questions?
I would agree with, I think that under your new guidelines, Chairman, that we've been, it gives everyone the opportunity to come in, voice their concern, to fill out the claim. It would be the same thing in any other liable court where if they put in a claim and they expect or they want payment for damages, they have to come in and state their case. While we, it's our job to give the money if it's needed, but it's also our job to defend and justify giving the money. So there's much more needed. I know the clerk has sent out numerous requests. We've held this for numerous times. I'm fine with moving on.
Any other members of the committee have any comments or questions? Any members of the council?
Yes. I see he has submitted a letter that says that unfortunately, due to my car being a specialty car, I'm forced to get my tires at the Honda dealership. I've tried several other tire establishments, and not only do they not carry the tire my car takes, the backside of the tire rim is flat, and they do not have the tool required to remove them. And I see from the report, it looks like it's a Honda Civic. I don't know if anything about the accuracy of what the claimant has said, but it was something that he at least did file with his claim.
No, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, the big concern I have is because it's an issue just with tires. Usually it is readily obtainable for the other numbers, but I'm right there with you. I'm not a tire guy. I'm not a tire expert. I don't know if because they are specialty tires, that's out the window. I mean, Honda Civics are not uncommon cars by any means.
I think there's more than one Honda dealer that is available. So I'm not totally letting him off the hook, but he did make an attempt to address it. And I don't know what else he's done since then. I just saw that, so I thought I would bring it to your attention.
No, that's fair. I mean, I think what we've been doing is if when we had this situation, by giving them the additional notice that we intended to potentially vote no and that it needed to come in, that was exactly the kind of thing we hoped they would come in and tell us that, hey, here's why, and have to give an explanation. And at times, hopefully we'll be able to fix it because it would turn out maybe they could get estimates and they just didn't think it through. But without that person contacting us in any size, shape, or form, it's hard to know.
And quite honestly, I kind of wish I agree with what you're saying, Mr. Chairman, because in the world of Amazon, Google, Etsy, eBay, and everything, and all things social media, we don't have to get into that. I think there's plenty of opportunity to present and to have, you know, state this case or find the item that we're looking for. But again, giving them the opportunity to show, I'm ready to move on this.
Mr. Chairman, may I say something here?
Absolutely.
Is this the third time that this comes before us?
It's at least the second. I can't promise you whether or not it's the third.
I mean, you know, I agree with all of you. You know, we have to come up with some sort of guideline. You know, this is a sizable piece of money for anyone. It's $800 we're talking about is what, you know, they're looking for anyways. It's a sizable piece of money. As the lawyers in the room know, it's not our job to provide the defense or the reasoning or the rationale. It's the claimant's responsibility to appear before us and present their case. They've had at least two opportunities to do so, maybe three. You know, I don't know what your intent is with this particular item, but I think it might be worthwhile to establish a guideline with these claims that if on one or two holds or extensions, the party does not come forth or does not call with a reason, that you just dismiss it. That's my two cents.
I mean, it's a fair point. The way we had previously, we had just got done doing the guidelines, was that if the committee indicated it intended to vote no, that we'd hold it, we'd send notice, and we wait. But because of COVID, we've been overly generous in that regard. But given that COVID's not going anywhere anytime soon, I think you're right. I think we do have to figure something out like that, because we can't pretend as if it's going to be gone tomorrow and it's going to resolve this for us, because it's not. So that's a very good point.
And then, you know, nobody can point a finger at, you know, any selective enforcement or someone got, you know, better treatment than another. This is the guideline. You know, you had three attempts, because it ties us up. And you know, we've talked about meetings, you know, getting extended, et cetera, et cetera. Well, you know what? There's more than one reason for them. And, you know, this is another.
No, that makes a lot of sense. I don't disagree with any of that.
Thank you. That's all I got, Mr. Chairman.
Any other members of the council wish to speak? Any members of the public wish to speak? Any members of the public wish to speak? Seeing none, we can entertain a motion.
Move unfavorable action.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
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 That got a triple.
We have PCR 95-20, resolution in regards to erecting stop signs on the secondary roadways of Grimshaw Place, Hackman Place, Worth Street, Crystal Drive, and Lockwood Street. Councilman Lattiser.
That's still a work in progress, Mr. Chairman. Let's hold that until November. Let's hold it till December 7th.
Move to hold till December 7th.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. And then we have PCR 96-20, resolution in regards to erecting a stop sign at the northwest portion of Horseneck Road and Pinehurst Avenue. Councilwoman Travis.
Yes, I would like to move that favorable action. I do have a traffic study with that.
All right, after having walked those roads recently, I agree. I would like a stop sign there. So it's not hit by a car. Any other members of the committee have any questions or comments? Any members of the council have any questions or comments? Any members of the public have any questions or comments? Any members of the public have any questions or comments? Seeing none, we could entertain a motion.
Move favorable action.
Go ahead.
I'll move favorable action.
Get it.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
And Lynn, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that concludes public safety.
You are all set.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Intergovernmental is up next.
Okay, I will open the intergovernmental meeting at 6:58. The first thing on the agenda is the acceptance of the October 5th meeting.
Move favorable action. Mr. Chairman, is it October 19th or October 5th?
Well, that's the 19th.
Move favorable action for the acceptance of minutes on October 19th, 2020 meeting.
I I have some for October 5. I'm looking for October.
Councilman 19. McElroy. Is Councilman McElroy here?
He was.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I'm here.
I moved, made a move for the October 19th meeting, Councilman.
Yes.
Seconded, please.
Yes. Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. So I have the agenda in front of me. It might be the wrong one, but there are. It says the acceptance of minutes, but for October 5th. So I'm confused about that. But if everyone else says on board that it was October 19th and there are no other minutes, that's fine. The
your first item is PCR 2820, Councilman.
Yes, I'm just trying to locate it in the book. I'm
sorry. Mr. Chairman, if you have it, I can read it off.
Okay, you can read it off. I'll find it by the time you're done reading it.
Thank you, Chairman. Item number one, PCR 28-20, resolution supporting codification of cancer presumption by the General Assembly, sponsored by Councilman Sinapi. This is not drafted.
Yes, I see that. Okay, Councilman Sinapi, what would you like to do?
Hold to the second meeting of December, please.
Request of the sponsor, hold until the second meeting of December.
I'll second that.
21st.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, the next item is PCR 39-20, a resolution in regards to amending PCR 1-19, the City Council Rules, Rule 30 docketing. The sponsor is Councilman Lattiser. It's not drafted.
Hold to the second meeting in January.
Request of the sponsor, move PCR 79-20 to the second meeting in January.
39-20.
Correction. I withdraw the last motion. Make a motion to hold PCR 39-20 to the second meeting of January.
Second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
The next item is PCR 79-20, a resolution for engineering to create Buckeye Brook Project. Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with what Councilman Lattiser said earlier. I would like to have the new council members included in this. So I would like to hold this until either, and I would refer to our clerk, is there more weight in the first meeting or would it be better in the second meeting, or did we fill that up pretty thick?
I only have what was held tonight to January.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Then I request, Mr. Chairman, that we hold PCR 79-20 till the second meeting of January.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And I believe that is all the items on the agenda. Am I correct?
That's correct.
7:03, Mr. Chairman.
7:03, we'll close it.
Thank you.
So the final committee we have for the evening is Public Properties, Land Use Committee, and Community Affairs. Is Chairman Ricks. Councilman Corley and Councilman McElroy. Corley and Councilman.
Thank you. Is everyone ready?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Let's see. Okay. Got the mute off now. Okay. The time is 7:05. The City Council Committee on Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs comes to order. Let's see. First up, we have acceptance of the minutes from the committee meeting held on October 19th, 2020. Do we have a motion?
I move it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All affirmative. Let's see. One item on the agenda. This is Councilman Snappy, and it is not yet drafted. It is PCO 30-19, Ordinance Involving State Law Regarding Unutilized Commercial Property. To which meeting would you prefer this be held?
I'd probably say the first meeting in December for the moment.
All right, first meeting in December. I believe that's December 7th.
Yeah.
All right, do we have a motion to hold to December 7th?
I'll move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And that concludes the committee meeting at 7:06.